Hello and welcome back to the SEO for Photographers podcast, episode 4. Dylan, it's real. This is like a real podcast now. Isn't that crazy?
It actually happened. I'm as surprised as you are.
Like, how many places are we right now? Like, on how many platforms?
Yeah, I mean, all of them.
We're on at Stitcher. Least like 4 or 5, yeah. 6, something like that.
Yeah, totally.
It's pretty crazy.
We've had a couple hundred downloads in the first week, which is I'm happy with. So
yeah, not bad considering we just like YOLO'd it and put out a couple episodes and like, hey, do you like this?
Started.
They were on YouTube first.
Exactly. Yeah, the pro move of podcasts.
Yeah. So it's funny. Funny story. After we had recorded those episodes, Dylan was in charge of setting this up and putting us on Libsyn, the podcast host. And he posted in the group one day and he was like, guys, we have a podcast, the SEO for Photographers podcast. And I commented and I'm like, oh, is that what we're calling it?
Exactly.
We hadn't even talked about it yet. Yep. But I think it's a good name. And actually today, this episode, we want to talk about why SEO for photographers. In other words, why isn't it just SEO? Like, what's the difference in reading an SEO article on some generic website from Neil Patel or some crap like that, and maybe even listening to just a general SEO podcast? And then why would we need to start an SEO for photographers podcast? What's going to be different about this than any other SEO podcast? So Dylan, you want to start and give like a general thought on why this is different than any other SEO podcast?
Yeah, totally. I mean, kind of straddling both worlds, like, of course, we're both photographers and we've both worked on SEO projects mostly in the photography world, but also outside of the photography world. I think we have a great perspective to really see those differences and realized that SEO specifically for photographers is a wildly different beast than either small local projects like working on a plumber's website or a hairdresser or some other small site like that, or like large e-commerce sites or like huge technical projects. So they're just like in this different, entirely different world. And a lot of what you'll read online just isn't focused on the specific needs of SEO for photographers.
Exactly. Cool. Well, we have a rough outline of a couple of things that we want to talk about as far as specific things that are unique to photographers or that photographers especially need to be thinking about when it comes to SEO that you might not necessarily find whenever you're reading on Yoast or any other blog that's teaching you SEO. There are a lot of things out there that are very good that you could learn great SEO, but maybe it's geared towards affiliate SEO or e-commerce SEO, or they are thinking about realtors and lawyers instead of photographers who have very different needs. So we'll dig into that here a little bit. What's the first thing? What do we want to talk about first?
Yeah, I guess first, like, let's talk about local SEO and how that affects photographers.
Yeah, I feel like it's so tricky because in Google's eyes, local factors are still critically important for people who are searching for a photographer and a location. So wedding photographers in Portland, because they put Portland in that query, Google is going to weigh those local factors very heavily. Maybe we'll talk about what some of the local factors are in just a second. But from the photographer's perspective, and even from the client's perspective, the location isn't always critical, especially when it comes to wedding, elopement, engagement type photography.
Yeah,
location is almost irrelevant. I mean, in some cases, like if you're a newborn photographer, like, you know, newborn parents don't want to travel too far, or sure, maybe you need a studio headshot and you need a studio that's near you. So for some photographers, it's still about the same, but for photographers who are servicing large service areas, location doesn't matter to them or to their clients, but it still matters to Google, which is totally extremely frustrating. Dylan, you want to chime in on like what some of those local factors might be?
Yeah, so
just,
I mean,
in general,
for sure, first off, like choosing or being able to verify an address for your Google My Business, you don't have to show that necessarily, but it is key. But it also locks you down to really having to rank for that location. Like, if your address is outside of the typical population center or the part of town that Google wants to prioritize with their map results, you're going to have a rough time showing up in rankings in many cases.
Especially if you want to rank inside the map pack, which is that little set of three results that are, you know, along with a map at the top of the results in most location-based searches.
Yeah. Outside of that, reviews are quite key. Getting reviews on Google, on your actual Google My Business, but also the sites that they show up for reviews from other sites. For photographers, that might be something like Yelp. It could also be something like Wedding Wire or The Knot, or more photography-centric review sites.
Yeah. I mean, even things like phone number with an area code that's local, or listing the location or the address on the website, having click to directions on your website. Like, those kinds of things can be very influential on getting those map pack rankings. Yeah. And unfortunately, Google still shows those map pack rankings even for wedding and elopement photographers if you search with a city. So it's really tricky to try to think through how do we understand a photographer's goals, their clients' needs, and also at the same time try to please Google to get the best rankings. That's a very weird balance in this space.
Because photographers do not fit, like, all three of those are not the same at all. That's difficult. Next, I think we wanted to talk a little bit about content strategy for photographers and how that might differ from other types of SEO.
Yeah, what are your initial thoughts on how photography content is likely different than, let's say, content that someone like, what's a good example? We keep going back to plumbers, carpet cleaners, lawyers, real estate agents, you know, any kind of service business. What's different for a real estate agent versus a photographer?
Yeah, I mean, real estate agents are a bit unique where they're typically trying to rank their listings somewhat, and that has like a high turnover, but they also are trying to just do informational posts about the home buying process. So that might be somewhat similar to a photographer doing content strategy based on the wedding planning process. Outside of that, though, I think that the content strategy for most photographers up until recently has been to just do blogs of their work that are 100 photos just in a blog post with maybe a title and a sentence or two about the shoot. And I think that that's a content strategy that doesn't really work anymore.
At least it's going out. It's harder for it to work.
For sure.
Yeah. It can still work, but it's not. You're almost getting lucky, or you're swinging your authority.
Yeah.
Whenever it works these days, and it might not work for long, even if it works now.
Totally. And we can see better results from other strategies, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. But
I think that photographers do have a unique issue there where they do need to show a lot of photos, or they need to show some photos. But I think that in general, they focus too much on that aspect and wowing people with just throwing a lot of work at them, and not enough about actually talking to the client's needs and informing the client and kind of getting the client to see them as an authority.
So I guess what we're really saying here, or what we're trying to get at, is that photographers actually have bad habits when it comes to blogging that a lot of other types industries don't have. And it's part of the built-in process where photographers often believe that they should be blogging or somehow posting work from every single session or client or wedding. That's very common. It's very common for people to do that for years and have hundreds and hundreds of posts, and maybe they're even optimized incorrectly or in a way that's harming them now. Mm-hmm. We don't usually see a plumber is not going to blog about a house that he goes to fix today. It's just not going to happen. I mean, even a real estate agent, maybe if you find someone who's like really, really current, they might be doing a special video on YouTube to walk through every listing or some kind of blog post for every listing, but even they aren't generally doing that kind of thing. And so because of this overwhelm of content, or this mass amount of content, it's more important for photographers to understand how to organize that content so that things that are less important support articles that are more important, or get no indexed, or get combined to create content that's going to actually rank.
Exactly. Yeah, so I guess, do you want to go into the next little bullet point we have?
Yeah, so the next thing is we talk about how it's it's hard to do any kind of testing, split testing, or gathering data for photographers, because even a very successful photographer who has great SEO is going to get a limited number of visits to their website. And so, like, just let's give an example. Dylan, your site's actually pretty well optimized, gets quite a few visits. What's a ballpark number for monthly visits?
Yeah, somewhere around 40,000 visits per month, maybe 50.
But like, what's from Google?
Oh, from Google. I think I get about 250 a day, and so that's somewhere around 60,000.
I don't think that's the right math.
Probably. Math is hard.
He's going to check right now. Yeah. He's going to look at it.
50 times. Probably 28. 7,000? Yeah.
7,000. That sounds more right.
That's
like it.
Much better math.
Yeah. But I mean, that's really on kind of the high end of what we typically see from most working photographers when they have, if they're a wedding photographer, getting 5,000 to 7,000 clicks from Google in a month is, it's a very high number. I mean, most people, it's probably closer to 700 to 1500 maybe if they're doing moderately well.
For sure. And I mean, so like to do any like user testing, or if you wanted to get technical on your design and do an A/B test, those tests are never going to actually get statistical significance. I've done SEO projects on much larger sites and we're doing conversion rate optimization. And even if they had, I'm trying to remember the numbers, but it was like, I think they're in the ballpark of like, I think it was 100,000 visits a day.
And wow.
Yeah. And it would still take 28 to 30 days for some tests to actually get statistical significance.
Yeah. And I guess the tricky thing is, like, when you talk about statistical significance, it's possible to get it with lower numbers whenever like a large portion of people are doing a specific thing. If it's more split where it's like closer to 50-50, it's going to take much, much longer even with big numbers. But the point is, what we're saying all of this to say, a lot of times you'll read articles about SEO and they're going to tell you to split test, or they're going to tell you that you need to test everything or you need to track everything. And we'll even say this sometimes, right? We're going to tell you, try something, track it, and then, you know, see what happens. But the problem is, I think often we take for granted the fact that we are so in tune with graphs. Like if we look at Search Console and we see a pattern, we're going to recognize the most common patterns almost instantly. Whereas someone who doesn't do this every day, they might not recognize those patterns, and it's very hard to find them in small amounts of traffic.
For sure. Yeah, it's brutal.
So what's next?
So let's, I guess, talk about some of the photography platforms and how they're unique to the outside world that probably doesn't ever have to use these.
Platforms, one of my favorite conversations. We're going to have at least a few episodes about platforms. Maybe we should do like an episode per platform.
I'd like that. Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a good series.
It might get kind of colorful. We'll see.
Yeah.
But anyway, like in my mind, one of the things that sets us apart from a general SEO, if you went and talked to even a really good SEO at an agency that has a great reputation and gets results for their clients, and you told them that you're on Show It, they are going to be like, what the? I don't think we're supposed to make this explicit. But
exactly.
They, you know, they have no idea what that is. They will have never heard of it.
Nope.
Right. And if you tell them that, you know, there's like some specific thing that you're trying to do on Show It, and they're going to have no idea the workarounds and the little weird things that you can do and how to set your Show It pages to actually be WordPress pages and pull in through the template. Like they would have no clue, but we do this all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So we see Show It, Squarespace, Flow Themes, Profoto, PhotoBiz, Good Gallery, all these random portfolio builders and proofing sites. And we know what the strengths and weaknesses are of almost all of those. And I feel like
the weaknesses.
that too. But I mean, like not very many people, even great SEOs, they would not be familiar with any of those things.
Yeah.
Why is that important for you to be familiar with your platform?
I mean, I remember the first time I audited a Show It site, I remember just like almost melting down. I was like, this isn't an option to change. Like what do I have to do? Like, and just like going through their documentation and talking to their customer service and trying to figure out workarounds. And it was a lot of work to do simple tasks. And now we have that experience, and so we know like all of these little workarounds to do simple things that on like WordPress would be a 30-second change. We also have experience to say to a client like when they need to actually migrate from a platform, or when it's smart to just stick with their platform and try to optimize it, because we've been through those situations with other photographers in similar positions.
Yeah, and I think too, you'll also sometimes find, even in the photography space, if you find another SEO who says something like Google's platform agnostic, or it doesn't matter what platform you're on, we've ranked sites on all these platforms, we rank sites on Wix every day.
Yeah,
like I mean, it's we both cringe every time.
For
and
sure.
I mean, it's possible, right? Yeah. It is possible.
All of these things are possible.
But we also are intimately familiar with the photography market in almost every major metro, like around the United States, and even in big parts of other countries. We know what's probably going to work in that market and what's not. We know for a wedding photographer who's going to have tons of content, it's going to be different than for a headshot photographer who needs three pages, because the competition is different, right? So knowing when a platform actually does become a problem is very critical, and I think it applies to photographers more than a lot of other industries.
Totally agree. Yeah. I guess next, that kind of segues into probably one of the issues that affects almost all photographers and that we see every day in the groups, which is most photographers do not specialize in only one type of photography. They're attempting to do like weddings and portraits, or weddings and newborns, or families and newborns, or headshots and lifestyle. And they're also, because they can go anywhere in the world to do their work, we often see people that are like, I want to shoot in my old hometown of Atlanta and my new hometown of LA, and rank in both of those markets with the same website and the same Google My Business and the same business itself. So,
yeah, I feel like it's important for us as people who are working on SEO for photographers to really understand this situation, because we need to have empathy.
Yes.
We need completely to understand.
Yep.
But at the same time, we need to be realistic about what's possible. And I feel like we have, at least in many cases, been able to help people figure out a strategy that still works for multiple specialties or multiple locations. Mm-hmm. But we have to be realistic up front and let them know, here's what you should expect. It's probably not going to be as good as you think. You're not going to be first page for six different cities and three different specialties in all those cities. If you do that, there's some weird thing going on or whatever. Like, it's not very likely at all.
And that's everything. Yeah. I mean, setting those expectations is so key, because I remember tackling these issues like early on in my career. I did not set those expectations. I would be like, hey, like, what specialties do you want to rank for and what markets, and give me those targets and I'll go try to rank your site. And like, that did not work.
Nope. But anyway, I feel like as we talk about SEO for photographers, we do need to tackle, like, what do you do if it's not going to work perfectly, but this is how the reality of my business is set up. Like, what do I do? And we do have several strategies that we'll use depending on what the person says is their priority and, you know, what seems to be the best opportunity and things like that.
Completely. Awesome. After that, I think most photography websites are very image heavy with their design, and that presents the issues with page speed, just hosting all of those images, image optimization. I think a lot of photographers think that they need to spend a lot of time modifying their file names and their alt text. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, of course I have thoughts on that. Like, in a conversation almost every week about file names and alt text and how much they don't actually matter. And I say that, and like any other person who's listening to this, any other SEO in the world is going to be like, no, don't listen to these guys. He said alt text and file names don't matter. I mean, I was like, okay, I went to Google headquarters and they had some of the product leads. So that's like the person in charge of all of the developers on a specific product from Google. And they were giving little presentations, and I got a chance to like go up and ask the product lead for Google Image image search directly. I said, how important do you think file names and alt text are? And he couldn't really give me a straight answer, unfortunately. I wish everyone was probably like, he's going to tell us.
Yeah.
And he did have an answer, though. He said, in cases where we don't have much other information, they may be somewhat important. So yeah, if it's a gallery and there's nothing but images and you have file names that can tell what makes, like, what is this gallery about, and it helps Google to understand that, then possibly those file names were important. But the ultimate truth is there are so many other things, and I'm like, this should just be a whole other episode. I'm not going to go too much more on this, but there are so many other things that can help your images rank, and the file name and the alt text is like 1% of that equation. It's probably not exactly 1%. I'm saying that as in my own personal exaggeration.
Yeah, I mean, the title of the page they are embedded on is probably 10 times more important than the alt text for rankings or something.
And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, for photographers, image optimization is a real thing. Like, yeah, you should be thinking about it for more than one reason. Like Dylan said, you need to make your site faster. But we actually pulled a number before this. We went to Dylan's site where he has, if you search for Portland wedding photographers, you'll find Dylan currently on the page, on page one for organic, and in the first, you know, row or two in image search. And that means that his Search Console data should give us very accurate information about the number of impressions across those terms. And we found that the image for the same term, the image results were 10 impressions, right?
Yeah.
And the organic was somewhere over 700 per month. And so it's like, for Portland wedding photographer, you probably don't want to spend a ton of your time optimizing your images for that. But there were some other opportunities. What were some of the things we saw that were getting actual image searches?
Yeah, so like venue related searches, so like Portland wedding venues actually did see some volume for image search.
And the Hoyt Arboretum or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So like actual individual venues saw search as well. And so you really need to think about the intent of the keyword. Like, are people likely to want to see an image in search results, or are they looking for a vendor? So like, as much as photographers want to think that they're being picked for their image quality, most people looking for a photographer are probably more interested in where they're located or
pricing.
Yeah. Pricing is probably it. And less about the actual style. Like, it's going to be a very like art conscious type person that's going to pick their photographer out of a group of images or something.
Yeah. Ironically, whenever we were looking earlier at Portland wedding photographer and the images,
yeah,
even from my perspective as an ex wedding photographer, I was like, okay, most of these look almost exactly the same.
I was going to say the same thing. They're like all the same color palette, all the same editing, all the same kind of locations. And it was
we saw one location at least like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And it was like almost the same pose on the same rock. Yeah.
And
so
Google's been known to do that quite a bit lately, where we see trends in image search results of what's actually in the image.
That's pretty crazy to think about how they're doing that with machine learning and understanding what's in the image.
Completely.
All right. I feel like we're going on a rabbit trail here. What was, we're talking about intent.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of that, I mean, can you think of any other terms that photographers, like potential clients, might be searching that have a high image search intent?
I mean, I'm sure it can happen. I feel like if you think about things that might get searched on Pinterest, they're probably also getting searched on Google image results.
So maybe like style guides type stuff, like what to wear
or potentially.
Yeah.
I feel like the problem with that is maybe it's too national, so it's hard to rank locally.
Yeah.
I was going to say something earlier. Another thing that the guy from Google mentioned is that when they're thinking about ranking images, what they're thinking about is what is the end result that person who searches for that is trying to achieve. And Dylan, you kind of said this a minute ago, but is it that they want to see a picture? Is that the end result? I'm searching in images because I want to look at a picture. In some cases, that is the end result. But in a lot of cases, I think the example that he gave at the event was people looking to build DIY a playground in their backyard. And if you did a Google search for you know, DIY playgrounds, then Google is actually going to prioritize images where the end page strongly fulfills the intent behind doing that search. So like things with instructions on how to build your own playground is an intent that Google believes is probably relevant for that query. So even if the images aren't great, if the page that they're on fulfills the intent of the search. Okay, this is like getting way deep. We should be doing this on a complete separate episode. But
we will, for sure. I had one more thought, and sorry, it's going to go even further down the rabbit hole.
It's okay.
But I thought of this just now, so it might be wrong, but I would only prioritize really optimizing for image search if an image featured snippet, or I guess it's a search feature, was showing images on the search results.
Yep.
Or I would really think that that's a query that, like, I did in a search for engagement session outfits, and it shows like 21 or so images of different engagement session outfits. Randomly, they all look like the same dress and color combination.
That is so weird. And
yeah, that's so funny. But yeah, I mean, that shows that there's a very strong image intent here, and I'm sure that these sites get quite a bit of actual image search traffic.
Yeah. It's funny because a lot of those are on Pinterest.
Yep.
Okay, let's get back to what's different about SEO for photographers. We're kind of getting close to the end. We already talked about the blogging bad habits. We already talked about keywords with little to zero volume. Backlink building advantage, you want to throw that in there? Because it's not all negative. Like, it's not all harder for photographers. In fact, photographers have it easier in a lot of situations.
For sure. I mean, we just did a podcast about building backlinks, and I think what photographers don't realize is that they have a huge advantage over most small businesses, where they have this asset, which is their images and the ability to easily create images for other businesses and people, and they don't leverage that enough. They can be giving images to free to every vendor they work with, or every potential vendor that they want to work with, and so many different publications need images. Local businesses, all sorts of, like, pretty much anybody at the website or social media platform is probably going to have a need for some imagery. And so reaching out and trading those images for backlinks is a huge opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. Just whenever you think about SEO and the big picture of SEO, I think that speaking to someone who is going to help you with your site, who has been through what you're going through, like they've worked with clients just like your clients, or, you know, they've been to hundreds of weddings and whatever, like they understand the kind of thing that people mean when they search for something. I think that's critical. So I guess that's a perspective that we hope to bring to this podcast. That's why it's not just the Fuel Your Photos podcast. It's why it's not something more generic. We really want this to, any advice we give is coming from two guys who were wedding photographers, but also we've done all kinds of other photography and we've worked with all kinds of other photographers. So we really want to bring that here. If you hear us talking about something, it should be relevant to photographers.
Totally. Well, cool. I mean, I think we're pretty much through our list for today. Do you have any other thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. I do have one more kind of
nice
random thought. What do you think about photographers who are teaching SEO, but they're not SEOs? They're just teaching it because they've had success on their own sites.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting. I think that the only way, or the only reason I would say that they kind of have like an N equals one sort of study that they've done, where they've had success with themselves only, and so they think that what they're doing is successful. And I don't want to be like too condescending and be like, they all suck at SEO, because it's probably not true. But I do feel like there is a kind of a gap where they don't have the experience and knowledge across working on all of these platforms and in all of these major markets and smaller markets and all of the different specialties that it really requires to really talk about these strategies either from like a top level or like when you get really down into the details. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's my main complaint is that I've seen people who they had success on their platform in their city in their specialty, and they're trying to take the things that worked for them and tell other photographers that that's the thing that will definitely work.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you watch any of our videos, go through our course, whatever, you're always going to hear us being like, well, it depends on the market. It depends on this. And it's because we know we've seen every specialty in almost every market. And we know what's likely to work in one place is not always exactly what's going to work for someone else. We know it's going to be very different if you have different competition.
For sure.
I think that it's great to learn from someone who has had success because there's always something to learn from them.
Completely.
But that it's important to remember that just because something works for one person or one type of photographer does not mean that it will always work for every kind of photographer.
Yeah. And I think if I could lump all of them up into like just making a broad generalization, most of them have had success based purely on the features that they've gotten for their work. And so those backlinks have built up the authority of their websites to the point where they can have slow websites that are poorly optimized, to even to the extent that they're probably being like algorithmically penalized, and still rank really well for certain terms just based purely on their backlink profiles.
That does happen a lot in the education circle.
Yeah, and so like they're teaching about other topics in SEO outside of getting those features, and it's just really not what people need to be hearing.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's hopefully helpful in describing what's going to be different about this than what you might hear from other SEO podcasts or SEO blogs. But we want to hear from you too. What specifically, as a photographer, do you want to know about SEO, and how can we help by making an episode about that?
Totally. So yeah, there's a few different ways you can get in touch with us. We have these podcast episodes live on the website, and so you can leave a comment on our site. You can also join the Feel Your Photos Facebook group, and feel free to start a post or leave a comment in the group.
And now you can subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can subscribe
on your favorite platform.
Exactly.
And leave us a review.
That'd be great.
But only if it's 5 stars.
If it's not five stars,
we'll take 4, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
And it has to be 4 or 5 stars, though. Yeah. Otherwise, just send us a hate mail.
Exactly. Reach out to us if you think we're doing something terribly wrong. But.
All right. Well, guess we'll see you on the next episode.
Sounds good. See you all later.
Podcast music playing now.
Nice.